Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't, and where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone, and thanks for tuning in and listening. And we have Larry on his mountaintop, and this is sort of I wouldn't call it an emergency, but I would say it's an update to an update of trouble. And as expected, we did have a ceasefire that's not really holding the sporadic interchange of things, but more to the point, Larry's been monitoring the news out of Israel and Jordan, the papers over there, and what's really going on. And the war appears to be on. Israel is striking deep into Syria. Hi, Larry. How are you doing?
Hey, Stuart. How's it going?
Well, slow but sure. What's your take on all this? I know the Iran president issued a warning to Donald Trump that if the U.S., here's a quote from it, if the U.S. was to engage in military conflict, it would be the mother of all wars. Well, it's just America should know that peace with Iran is the mother of all peace, and the war with Iran is the mother of all wars. And he said, don't play with the lion's tail. This would only lead to regret. You are not in a position to incite the Iranian nation against Iran's security and interests. Well, what are we doing? We're hitting all of Iran's interests in Syria. What's your latest?
Well, that's very true. And as you said at the opening, there is a fragile peace, if you will, or a ceasefire, rather, not a peace, a ceasefire, between Israel and Palestinians or the Hamas. And, of course, the latest when El-Sisi was trying to broker a ceasefire, Hamas told him they were just ready to go to war. And so, that's holding, for a few minutes. But at the same time, we did report that things were changing on the northern border with Syria. And if you'll remember, I think in our recent show, we reported that Netanyahu had said that Putin had really betrayed Israel because Putin had made an agreement to remove Iranian troops from Syria. And that did not happen, and then we heard that Netanyahu had phoned Putin and said, we're going to begin bombing the Iranians again in Syria. Well, this is really interesting, and I'd like your opinion. That during the nighttime yesterday, something very interesting happened. It seems that in the hours of the night, Israel on its northern border with Syria interceded and evacuated, at apparently Trump's request, 800 plus of those Syrian white helmet personnel and their families. Israel took them out of Syria and moved them through Israel to Jordan to safety. And as soon as that happened, now this evening, by the way, there are reports, and I'll read you two reports here real quick. Depth of file is reporting Israeli warplanes said to have struck Iranian controlled missile production facility in Syria. And another report coming out of Syria and Lebanon says Syrian and Lebanon sources report four Israeli warplanes struck a military site in western Syria with heavy Iranian and Hezbollah casualties. Says Syrian air defense reports shot down some of the Israeli missiles. So they are, as Netanyahu said, they have begun now, especially after they moved the 800 white helmet personnel and their families out of Syria to safety. They've begun to hit the Iranians again inside Syria.
So that would mean that Trump probably not only requested, but more or less commanded that before you do this, let's get these white helmet people out of there. That's kind of interesting that there's that much coordination. Of course, you got to remember that Iran calls Israel the little Satan and calls America the big Satan. So here we are where Israel is pounding Iranian targets, which is really a direct war with Iran. So the question I have, I guess, and anybody would have, is how long is Iran going to do this before they retaliate? How long are they going to take these kind of attacks? Because Syria really is nothing but a proxy of Iran. And what's interesting also is to the allies of Russia and Putin, which is probably why Putin may have gone through the motions of telling them to get rid of the troops and Assad and whatnot, please remove your troops from Iran. But then we read that they changed the troops over and changed their uniforms so that they were really Syrian military and advisors and not military troops, which we all know is a phony. So the whole thing is based upon lies and deceptions, and certainly Israel is smart enough to know that. So it seems to me they haven't paid much attention to it. The point I'm trying to make here is, will Iran retaliate, and will Hamas, who is also a proxy, basically, of Iran, and Hamas is essentially an Iranian branch of the military, will they then launch this huge rocket barrage at Tel Aviv and Haifa? What do you think? I mean, I think this thing could explode. I'll get into the numbers as to why I believe that it's very, very odd how all this is working out numbers-wise. And I can't always stress numbers. You can make numbers say anything you want. So there's a caveat there. But what do you think? I can't imagine this is going to just simmer down, particularly with the rhetoric that we're hearing.
Yeah. What's interesting is we do know that the plan to send missiles to Tel Aviv and Haifa is actually a Soleimani plan, General Soleimani from Iran, and
yes.
he was recently in Gaza meeting with Hamas during the ceasefire, if you will, and also the missiles. The plan seems to be that a massive missile strike out of Syria, with Iranians firing on Tel Aviv and Haifa, plus Hezbollah firing their missiles at Tel Aviv and Haifa, and at the same time, Hamas is to loose its missiles, so it's a massive missile attack across Israel. That's the big plan. Will this activate? I don't know, but it looks like we're getting very, very close.
Well, if they do that, then Israel will have to probably eliminate the capital of Syria, and Syria will be no more. Sort of like the Samson option that we have mentioned before. And so I'm curious as to, you know, the way they're doing this and the fact that Trump and Putin met in secret, which we can get into a little more, because I think there was, personally, I think, you know, I believe in Psalm 2, and I believe that the Lord does not make any mistakes when it comes to naming who's who and whatnot. And to have these two people meet in secret, and they met, Putin also met with Assad some time ago, and he met with the Iranian president, did he not, if I remember right? I mean, he's met with kind of his allies there, as well as Bibi and Donald Trump, right?
That is correct. Yeah, you're exactly right. He has, and he's met with Turkey also, Turkey and Iran and Syria. And, you know, and he, actually Putin has also met with the Saudis. So it's very interesting because he's meeting with everybody, it seems, but we're still going to the same place, it seems, in the Middle East.
Yeah, we're going into, our speculation was, remember we asked the question, do we have a peace agreement and a war afterwards, or do we have a war and a peace agreement after that? It looks like now that answer is being made, that we are going to war, and that war will then bring about a peace accord of some type with many. This is kind of interesting how this is all shaping up. If we take out Syria and Damascus, then we are in Isaiah chapter 17. Then the only question is, does Iran get tired of being pounded by Israel and do a preemptive, which would be Daniel 8? That brings in the United States, according to the rabbis who have studied Daniel 8. And if that occurs, then Putin has to come into it. He doesn't have any choice because the hook's in the jaws. Treaties that they have with each other, the agreements they have with each other. I was surprised that Bibi would accept anything Putin would have to say on assurances, because Russia is a mortal enemy of Israel, according to the biblical prophecies. So I don't know how all this is going to work out, but it's getting very, very fascinating, to say the least, particularly on the timing.
Yeah.
What else is going on over there? Have you heard anything from Netanyahu? Has he made any real threats over any of this?
Well, the latest threats was he had announced to El-Sisi that he was fully prepared to go to full war against Gaza if they begun to start back up the strikes. And so we're just waiting. I mean, this could happen tonight. I mean, over here, their daytime tomorrow over there. But we're watching very, very close. And, of course, he's already bombing Iranian facilities inside Syria again. So, you know, that's off. It looks like a military conflict, one place or the other, is going to occur. We just don't know how it all works out.
Yeah, this is kind of interesting. I mentioned Barry Satoru, the otherwise known as AKA, I guess one could say, Barack Hussein Obama. He spoke today over in Africa, I guess, somewhere. You know what he said? Did you hear that, what he said?
Yeah, he came from Kenya to come to America to be president.
Yeah, first time, well, not the first time, because he's mentioned that sort of in a veiled way. But this is what he said, folks. Now, 3 years ago, I visited Kenya as the first sitting American president to come from Kenya. In other words, he was born there, which validates that prophecy. And what was that? 1912, I think. A Kenyan elder said that a Kenyan man would become president of the United States and raise havoc with it, and to basically destroy it. And I think we better take a look at this, because it's very, very interesting. On the last show, I gave you the list of all the things that have taken place, warnings from the Lord, all bunch of them. But the bookends are this. Israel began in 1897 with the Jewish Congress. So the 120th year was 2017. And remember that, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. So we had 120 years. And on the 121st year, things would begin to happen. That was 2018. Allenby retook Jerusalem in 1917. That was 100 years ago. It's interesting if you look up what the number 100 means. than Israel in her 70th year from 1948, which is most scholars think is a generation. Remember when Jesus said, this generation shall not pass until all things be fulfilled. Well, the end of her 70th year will be on 9/11, which is also a very, very interesting number considering what 9/11 actually means. So what do you think, Larry? I mean, all this seems to be coming in at about the right time. The time schedule appears to be right on the mark, and particularly with 9th of Av, bad time for Israel. And I think this was a trigger. This 9th of Av thing was a trigger for the coming big war. What do you think?
Well, it certainly could be. I know you've kind of got a little bit of a warning laid out towards the 27th of July, and in that time frame, I know that you. That's really interesting how this all seems to play out and on into August.
Yeah, I had a dream last night, and I'm not asking anybody to believe it came from the Lord whatsoever, because it was kind of fragmented, and usually those kind of things aren't. But I was shown a piece of paper that had a big 411 on it. Now, you might remember that Hayakatake, Comet Hayakatake, passed over the star Algol, which is Satan's head, in 1996. Then Hale Bopp crossed over Algol on 411 in 1997, and it formed a perfect cross in the heavens, meaning the work of Christ on the cross finished off Satan. Well, what's so very, very interesting to me was I've been working on the menorah, and I don't mean to get this complicated at all, but the menorah has 9 candles. Their normal candlestick has 7. And what most scholars do is they take those 7 and they put the Jewish feast days on those 7. So it goes Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost being the center candle, trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles being the last 3. In the menorah, you have 4 on one side. You have the big servant candle in the center, and then you have 4 on the other side. And if you take a look at that one, you can take 8 feast days. It starts the same way. It's Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and Pentecost on the first 4. Then the last 4 would go trumpets, atonement, tabernacles, and guess what? Tu B'Av, which nobody pays any attention to. And Tu B'Av is the 8th feast, and it's really not even considered a feast by the rabbis. In fact, to them, it's a mystery. If you look it up, you'll see several times where they really don't understand what it means. But it's a love feast. It's sort of like a Valentine's Day, and we've gone over some of that before. So it parallels or symbolizes Jesus coming back for his bride, picking her out of the earth and going home with her. Well, the dream I had the number of 411, and it was on a white card. It was very big, too. It was 411. And I was at a wedding at this time, and I have no idea. I don't know anything about what that means other than that the 411 is very significant in this whole thing. So I began to research it out, and you may remember that on 411 the comets pass, and that's really a big issue, because it was about that time that I realized 411 really meant something, because why would the Lord point that out in the heavens like he did? But we could never quite figure it out. Well, the first clue was, of course, in 2014, it was 120 days from 411 to Tu B'Av. And remember when Jesus said, in 4 months cometh the harvest. Well, 120 days is 4 months. in the Jewish 30-day month. So there's four of them. So that was a gigantic clue to me that this had something to do with taking the Bride of Christ out of the planet. And then we have, of course, the ninth of Av, which is a very bad time for Israel. And that's when she got involved with that battle with Hamas on 9th of Av. Well, if you read Isaiah 17, it's a bad time for Israel. Israel comes out, but she's really badly beaten up. Massive losses of life in this upcoming battle. So anyway, another thing that happened on 2 B'Av that a lot of people might not be aware of. All the planets of the solar system were on one side of the sun. And the last one that came over to complete that thing was the 21st of July. Now, I don't think that's by accident. We're being told something. Anyway, I did some research on 2 B'Av, and it has rapture, to me, written all over it. Not to say that it is the time of the rapture, but it's symbolic of the rapture, of the mystery. And what's interesting to me is that 2 B'Av is really a mysterious feast. They really don't understand what it means. And one of the reasons they don't is because they have rejected Christ. And if you reject Christ, you would not understand what that means. So it all is fitting together. Anyway, getting back to the feast days and the menorah, which has the nine candles. The Pentecost and the seven candle is what we call the servant candle or the middle candle. If you go to the menorah, you have four on one side, four on the other. So it trumpets or bookends trumpets and it bookends Pentecost and trumpets would be the two center feasts, if you looked at it that way. So then I thought, well, I'm going to just look up the difference of days, the number of days from Pentecost to trumpets, and see what it is. Pentecost this year was on May 20th. Trumpets is on 9/11. Well, if you bracket those 2 days, guess how many days it is? It's 114 days. 411.
Wow.
So that's not by accident. So we're being told something. I'm still working out what exactly we're being told. But it has something to do with a wedding. It has something to do with the comets going over Algol. And those two comets, as you know, were seen by the entire world. They were huge comets. They were beautiful comets. The entire world saw them for a long time when they came through. So anyway, the 411 code is in the servant candle of the menorah, bookending Pentecost and trumpets. Now, this is what's interesting. If you, because you have two feast days kind of centering, bookending the servant candles, then you would want to know what would be the exact center of those two bookends. Well, 114 divided by 2 is 57 days. Where do you think 57 days from Pentecost actually lands? It's July 16th, 2017. Now, what's interesting is people might say, well, so what? That is the exact day that Trump-Putin summit, which was a hidden secret summit as far as the world still does not know what went on, what was said. Now they're even threatening to subpoena people to find out what was said. And we have had nothing but chaos and disorder since that summit. Well,
that's
guess
right.
How many? Yeah, remember? Okay, from July 16th, the summit, to July 27th is 11 days. And 11 means confusion, disorder, and judgment. In other words, we could call it everything implodes. So does that mean that judgment is coming 11 days later, or July 27th, blood red moon over Jerusalem, the closest approach to Mars, the planet of war? Remember, the motto of mystery is order out of chaos. So the chaos is Albert Pike's probably Third World War. And then we have Obama 7 days later, his birthday, so he says, on August 4th. I don't have time to get into Obama, but there's a lot of evidence he's coming back. In fact, one of the evidence says, do you ever watch Waters World?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Did you see it last night? He had a big sign up, the return of Obama.
That's right. You're exactly right.
Why would media, is all deep state, including Fox, what are they telling us? I think they're telling us Obama's going to return. That means Trump has to be aced. For one reason or another, Trump's going to be removed. All this has to happen fairly rapidly unless this is all symbolic of a future event. And that's the caveat. We don't know for sure. So I'm just giving a heads up. There's a whole lot more to this 4/11 and 7/27 to be of than we realize. And it's very, very important. What else you got?
Well, I was going to just mention this new Barry Rothman code. He entitled Trump, Putin, Helsinki, and the ETs.
Well, that's probably the way it works. You know, we don't know what was said in there with Trump and Putin. Maybe all this got laid out to Trump and he didn't know it. You can't tell me Putin's not head of was not head of the KGB for years. He knows all about intelligence and intelligence gathering, right?
Yeah.
Well,
so
maybe that's exactly.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's very interesting, and I'll read you the wording. And a number of it is phrases that came from Barry's code. And it's, basically, here are the words and phrases. I'll be quick. Trump, Putin, Israel, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, man from Mars, and the sons of God saw the daughters of man that they were fair, and they took them for wives. And he actually dovetails into Genesis 6:2, and basically Rothman ran it because he said, did Trump and Putin discuss aliens at the summit? And there's been nothing but an incredible uproar after that summit.
Yes. So that would point to an arrival. This is very, very interesting because we do have an arrival that has to come. So anyway, all I can do, folks, is give you a real big heads up. I'm not telling you to believe any of it. The caveat is delay that's written in the scriptures, but we may have run out of the delays. And it just seems odd to me that the direct midpoint of all of the feast of the two feast days is exactly on the 16th and the Putin-Trump summit. What were they discussing? And were they laying the foundations for the coming war? Remember what Psalm 2 says, the kings of the earth and the rulers set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed. And so this whole thing, the Psalm 2 deal, is to ace Jesus Christ from off the planet, ace God the Father, ace the Holy Ghost, and set up their new world order and their Luciferian religion. That's what all this is about. That's what's coming. So it really is a very exciting time that we're living in. And once again, I'd say if you haven't prepared, you better go do it and do it right away. Any last word, dear Larry?
I would just say that the United Nations also has been warning of a major war coming. And so we just need to keep our seatbelt buckled, and maybe we'll have an update tomorrow night if things progress.
Yeah. Obama did say that World War was coming, and he couldn't stop it, and so didn't Putin. And he said, it's coming. And so here we are. Anyway, thanks a lot for listening to this update, and we'll be on tomorrow night if things pop, which they very well might. Anyway, good evening, and take care of yourselves. Good night.